When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What it is, welcome to a redundant and exciting adventure of Tyrus and Timph.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Tyrus.
I am Catherine Timph.
And joining us today is the one and only Devin.
Devin.
Hello.
Hello, Devin.
Good afternoon.
So lots to talk about.
Lots to talk about.
Big meetings. We had big meetings today.
Yeah, big high-powered meetings.
We were in the big boy. We were in the conference room.
Yeah, and I had a nicotine dip in my lip the whole time.
And did
you? Like a boss.
Yeah, you did. And I immediately asked what she did. And I was like, I was home. They couldn't possibly catch me doing anything.
It was all good.
It was good. Expansion.
Collaboration.
Synergy. You know, we're going to start working with that new young group that's out there, the Kat and Tyrus show. We're going to start working with them a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean,
good for you guys.
We're being adults about it.
Yeah,
we're being adults about it.
It's a little bit different, but a
lot of comparisons.
You got to broaden your horizon sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of comparisons. But
we were talking about a lot of things, too. You know, we got a lot to discuss today. Devin, you mentioned, you know, you were, you know, getting scared of going to bed.
Yeah.
Because of murder.
Murder.
And for me, I have always been able to fall asleep. I can't fall asleep unless I'm listening to a podcast about a murder or watching a show about a murder, because something about the people that they select to narrate those shows, like the Keith Morrisons, they have these soothing voices that lull me to sleep.
Yes.
And it's always worked for me. What's been happening lately in the past couple of weeks is the content of what they're narrating, the murder, has been making its way into my dreams.
Oh, no.
And this never happened to me before. At least maybe I didn't remember the dreams. I don't know.
Oversaturation.
It begins.
I don't know if it's true or not that you get a worse night's sleep when you have a nightmare, but I'm exhausted today. And I was having a horrible dream that someone was out to kill me, and I was trying to hide or travel, go to different places. These murderers were after me, and Cam said I was talking in my sleep. And I just, it's really
talking
tough.
Or planning?
Yeah, I don't know. I was like,
was he worried?
I remember the dream. No, I was I wasn't the murderer.
Okay.
You were escaping.
I was escaping, not from the police, but from people trying to kill me. And,
wow, that's very scary.
Yeah.
Well, there is one, and I keep forgetting the name. I know it starts with an S, but the narrator is awful. She is awful. It's like Scandal or Scream or
Scorned, Love Kills,
something like that. And she's
snapped.
Like
snapped.
Yes.
Women Who Kill.
Listen to Snapped, because that is the worst voice. No offense, but offense ever. Like, yeah, and then I did this. And you're just like, whoa.
She makes it sound like sexy.
It's like the wrong message.
They went out to the first dinner date, but he didn't know that soon enough what would be on the menu would be murder.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to sleep to that.
No. I can't even make my voice go as high as it does.
Like murder.
The murder narration octave is this octave or below.
Yeah. You got to come with
that. Slow.
And it was
the cadence.
Yes. So. It's about more. You know what an alternative is? David Attenborough puts me out like that. And the thing about anything with David Attenborough, you wake up smarter. But it just depends when you fall asleep, because you don't want to fall asleep in the middle of a kill.
They even have how to fall asleep shows you can watch.
And they have Calm.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can just kind of lull yourself.
Well, no, for me, it's got to be some kind of story, because the thing that keeps me from being able to sleep is the thoughts in my head.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Did we just, what if we read bedtime stories to people?
Tyrus and Timph bedtime stories.
Yes.
Part of the line that you can buy.
Right.
Of Tyrus and Timph merch.
Books of murder and
shipwreck novels.
And we'll play characters.
Timph reading her shipwreck novels.
We'll just play characters and we'll just read bedtime. And hey, listen, kids, we'll read Winnie the Pooh to you, you know?
Next time I go home, I do got to look through the basement. There's got to be some of my shipwreck, original shipwreck.
Yeah, you need to. You got to.
Or diary entries.
That's our ticket to an Emmy or a Golden Globe or whatever the podcast award shows are. I think shipwrecks would put us over, and Rogan would really have to step up his game because.
Yeah, he's scared.
He would literally be out of luck on an island. But, you know, falling asleep. So I'm obsessed with Bigfoot for all the wrong reasons, because I like the people who do the shows because they know they get to go to work every day and they don't have to prove anything or really do anything.
Like ghost hunters.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like they get to, the difference between ghost hunters get to go to shitty houses. Bigfoot people get to go to some of the greatest wilderness areas in the world, like do awesome camping, and all they do is they walk down a path at night and go, did you hear that?
Yeah.
And then they go, I'm gonna try one of the calls. But here's the thing, no one knows what they sound like.
Yeah,
so you're just making these calls up.
If one of our fine reporters, like our very own Brian Yenis, for example, went out to do a story where he's supposed to, you know, talk to these, you know, people, you know, interviews, and he goes, "I didn't find them."
No.
Back to you,
looking.
Martha.
Yeah.
Like that would not he would no longer be our very own Brian Yenis. No.
But
he'd
I yelled a few things in the forest, and
yes, Brett Baer here at the Senate. Senators to be found.
No senators, nary a senator.
Yeah. So back to you.
Yeah.
You know, but and it works with certain things. But then there's that one documentary that has you going, oh, shit. So there was this documentary that just came out. It's on iTunes. And they went back to Native American records. And their Sasquatch is not that friendly. White settlers came
in. Are they supposed to be friendly?
In some cultures, they were.
Oh, okay.
But in other ones, they were.
Didn't know that.
They were cannibalistic and would eat people.
Okay.
So, and this one tribe in Oregon had a deal with the Sasquatch. This whole mountain and tree range was theirs, and nobody goes into it, right?
Okay.
But this, it's always a, you know, this white privilege it started a long time ago. There's always this one white guy from Cambridge who shows up and be like, I'd like to go in there and meet them. Take me in there. And the Indians are like, nah, Briz, you go up. Nope, we don't go in there. You want to get eaten?
Yeah.
He couldn't get one Native American to go in there, right? So you say, oh, it's folklore or whatever. So tribes would dress like people. They also didn't realize totem poles are red bottom up.
Right.
So the thing on the top is not the most important. It's the animal on the bottom, which is the head of the food. So it's always bear, and the thing at the bottom is a Sasquatch. All down the coast of all these different tribes who had no contact with each other. And then there's this another group that where all their dressings and all their religious ceremonies, they're wearing outfits looking like a Sasquatch. Well, you're like, how did people in the 1600s know to make shit up? Like, there wasn't an internet. There wasn't a thing. So it's like, whoa, man, maybe there was a few, you know.
Maybe there were actual
And there's
Sasquatch.
Actual scientific proof of a 10-foot, I believe it's called Authoropithecus, which was, he looks kind of like an orangutan, but he could be red hair, whatever. But they were 10 feet, and they were bipedal. They walked. So there is scientific proof, but not with these motherfuckers. Who just walk around the street.
That's the easiest job in the world.
Yeah, because you're never going to find it.
They find them.
I could go out in my backyard and have Cat angle the camera just
exactly.
right.
Exactly. They don't even have to go anywhere.
In the swamps of Louisiana. Oh, let's try knocking.
Did you hear that? That was a Sasquatch.
Yeah, and then someone goes, wah, and it really sounds
they
like a cow.
They probably just pick a construction zone.
Yes.
And they pick a construction zone, and they go a little bit outside of the construction zone.
So they're dropping big rocks. You can hear big booms.
Because they're like
Sasquatch.
The Squatch. They even get a nickname.
Squatch.
Like, you can't give things nicknames
that
you don't have proof of.
Yeah.
But this documentary was like, I fell asleep at the end of it because it was late. I was watching late and I fell asleep. And I had this like weird dream, right? And I was just walking and I realized that everywhere I was walking, people were like, and trying to take pictures of me. I'm like, what the hell? Why is everyone? And then I like looked down and I was like, where am I? Oh, this is so embarrassing. I don't have any pants on and a shirt on. And I was like, but I'm really hairy. So I was like, basically my hair was covering up the goods, you know what I'm saying? So I was
You were a Sasquatch?
I was a Sasquatch, right? I was like, damn it. And then people were like, but then the cold part was I was walking and I ended up in the forest and like across the woods, Sasquatch was like, and he took off running. I was like, no, wait, where are you going? He was like, and I was like, wait a minute. And then I was sleeping and I woke up like in a fight position, like, who wants some? And Ingrid and Georgia were like, what the hell? You're yelling at the top of your lungs. Like, what are you doing? It was like, I was Sasquatching. And then I sat down, you know, Ingrid had to go do her workout stuff. So then I had to go. I was watching, playing Minecraft with my daughter, and my daughter's staring at me. And you guys know Georgie with her looks. And I'm like, what? What's on your mind? And she looked at me, and then she gets on her phone, and she Googles Sasquatch. She's looking at Bigfoot, looking at me, looking at Bigfoot, looking at me, and goes, Dad, do you have any pictures of your parents? And I went, okay, I know where this is going. You know I don't have pictures of my parents. She's like, huh. No one has pictures of Bigfoot either.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting. Like, you ever see anybody who looks like you, Dad? Like, well, no. I mean, kind of. It's like,
That's still more advanced reporting than any of the people on the show. Yeah.
She's laying the tracks.
Best proof we have.
Yeah. She's like, and you like fish, right? I was like, yeah, I like fish. Why? Well, that's the main part of their diet. They eat a lot of fish. Have you ever seen me eat my cichlids? Well, when they die, we never see the body. I was like, okay, so you're what are you saying? She's like, you're at least half a Sasquatch. At least half.
And have you been able to prove her otherwise?
The case. And yeah, no, I haven't. I'm still working on proof because she's clever. And then she said, as she was walking away, she's like, well, you're either a Sasquatch or the biggest half guinea pig I've ever seen. And I was it's like, okay.
Her insults are,
getting better. They're starting to sting a little bit. And I was like, guinea pig?
Yeah, that's mean.
Because she knows from the movie we saw, Bad Guys, I hate guinea pigs.
Oh.
The bad guy in Bad Guys is a little guinea pig. So she knows I don't like guinea pigs. But she's getting up. But anyways, now
you
I'm
You might
like,
have convinced me to,
it's in my head
Sasquatch
now.
Is real now. I was not believing.
I wasn't. You have to look at the cat. We'll put our
investigative journal
on us, but it is kind of weird that they're dressing like it, and they have paintings of like them helping them garden and stuff.
I wasn't sure before you started that story, but now I might.
Yeah, and also like, what is the lifespan of Sasquatch? They've been looking for Bigfoot for a long time.
How many children do they have? They're like, it's very rare to find like a bear carcass or a mountain lion carcass, and they said that when something typically dies in these forests, because they're basically saying that the area where they most sightings are the most untouched by human presence. There is at least 45% of the United States or something, a number like that, that humans have not been into and do not enter. The forest is so dense. There's so much stuff there. It's basically like a rainforest, and they're continually finding little new things. So it's not completely out of the realm for a small population, but they basically showed how fast a deer decomposes in the forest. You basically have about 3 days to find the body. And I'm talking about till the bleached bones are like down to nothing.
Right.
And then of course this one guy gets in who's like ops, and he did the fake. I haven't seen, which always gets me, Kat. We need to do this where we blacken somebody out and give them the voice. You know what I'm talking about? We're like,
yeah,
there was four of them and they were shot because they were too close to neighborhoods and they were taken to the, so apparently the government's in on this too. But you know, like,
always is.
Because you can't have Bigfoot's being known because we can't handle it, and small towns would be overrun with tourists and all this other kind of stuff. But then the answer was to put them on the endangered species list, so we couldn't go see them. So there's people who spend a lot of time on this, and this is more time than I wanted to spend on our podcast on this, but it's like, I feel like we keep looking for that story. I think we should start maybe doing our podcast from these cool forests where Sasquatch is. If we don't find them, at least we did the podcast.
Yeah.
But if we did.
If we did. You'd never see me again. Yeah,
no,
we're
no,
done.
We're
yeah.
billionaires.
We're billionaires.
Yeah, no, no. I would have a secretary.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you would not,
My secretary would have an intern.
Yes. Yeah,
and she'd be paid.
Yeah. We would be more elusive than Sasquatch. If you saw me crossing the street, I would do the look, like, and then take off running. So it was it was kind of cool because it wasn't now, because you can't believe anything now because everyone's right. fake. And they showed the one film that you could see muscles moving. And it's that old film where the guy's on the horse and he's literally caught it off guard. And it just basically looks like, what the f*** are you looking at? It just kept walking.
Don't you dare touch that dial. And if you do have a dial, you need an upgrade. We'll be right back.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
What do you think is more plausible, mermaids or Sasquatch?
Mermaids are real, but here's the cool part.
They're not the pretty.
No. Yeah, and this is going to make sailors look really bad.
Okay.
Let's just say, because it was rules, you couldn't have women on boats.
Bad luck.
Sea cows look like chunky. It's a chunky back if you know, with the little flippers in the way.
Okay.
But you just kind of, so the mermaids were a thing. It's just they would come back and instead of telling the truth, like, hey, I just diddled a sea cow. Ew. I diddled this beautiful mermaid. It was a woman from the top because why? They have the little hands, the little flippers, and they got a little soft mouth.
So they're not really mermaids.
They were diddling sea cows.
Okay.
Manatees. Cat, Google one.
Manatees.
And you see the front of them. And I think if they put some lipstick and a wig on it, I'm not condoning this behavior. It's disgusting. But you hallucinate a little bit, you know.
Kat, have you written about that in your ship?
No,
right now?
I did not. That's not
part of your genre.
I don't think there's ever a situation where a woman stranded at sea is going to see a sea cow and be like, you know what? Why not?
Right.
That's a testosterone stupid guy thing for like. You don't have any food. There's no fresh water, but you got time to diddle sea cows. Like, only men do stupid, and a certain type of man, you know, that's like, hey, when, you know, I think we know where the Vegas thing came from. Because, like, what happens in the ocean stays in the ocean, Briz, you know, like in
international waters.
Yeah, and sea cows won't talk. They, you know, they wouldn't teach them that, but.
I have learned so much today, honestly.
But if you really look at a sea cow.
I feel like I keep learning
more.
If
you blur your eyes and look at a sea cow.
I guess if I was delusional after months and months and months of being
like
on
women,
a ship.
You never hear of like women doing that.
Yeah. No, I don't think you would.
You never hear like a woman was stuck at sea for 6 months and became a crustacean rapist. It just doesn't.
I don't think it's something that women would brag about.
You guys can just shut it off and be like, yeah, I got to focus on survival right now.
Yeah.
I got to make fishing lines and like I got to eat and ration out all this stuff. Men be like, oh, I'm so upset. Oh, hello, octopus. Is that do you have, you know, it's like, and then you have a wingman is like, well, you know, it was asking for it. Right. I mean, one of those arms was saying, yeah. So, you know, it's just, ugh. I hate that about my
cat's face
my
says it all right now.
Because you know, someone tell me I'm wrong, but like
I honestly mean it makes a lot of sense. I thought you were gonna say that they were real, but they're not pretty.
They're not.
They have like sharp teeth and stuff.
No,
and,
if
like,
they did, they would probably
hair.
Have a fighting chance.
Yeah, have like seaweed for hair.
No,
I thought you were gonna, you know.
But
I thought you were going in a totally different direction.
You take seaweed, and somebody please bail me out. If you didn't change the subject, if you take a seaweed and put it on as a wig on a sea cow, and maybe a little bit
your
of
your argument makes sense.
Yeah, you know, because they do have little hands. I mean, not, but their hands are short, so they really can't push you away. They just kind of like. Damn you,
no.
Settling. Like, what was going on in the Mayflower, for real? Like, to where this happens. Like, if we could get an interview with a sea cow, you know, they're harmless, you know?
Well, I also, we have to do, you know, quickly, we have another investigation we need to uncover. Yes. Craig Butterfield.
Oh, that guy.
Craig Butterfield.
Speaking of sea cow.
Is actually a huge wrestling fan.
Ah, yes. Yes, I believe so. Yes.
How did you get to the bottom of this?
Well, in other news, I have secured another book deal, and I'm very excited about that.
Very nice. Congratulations.
So And talking to Catherine Timpf, we were trying to think about where it all started, and I just said, well, he just messaged me one day. And I was like, and we have the Wise Men podcast where we just talk about wrestling stuff. And it dawned on me that I had never really reached out to him or tweeted him. I just...
Well, the story was, right?
That he responded to
you guys had been chatting on Twitter.
Right, but
how did he find you on Twitter if he didn't watch wrestling in the first place?
And follow you.
Yeah, because... Yeah. And it was right after I got let go from the WWE and I put now taking booking, so my information was up. So I think he watches wrestling. So we need to lay a wrestling trap.
What are you going to do?
I think to have Catherine go into wrestling, but with the wrong information, and see
if he corrects
her. Like, man, that Hulk Austin was something else.
But do we know who his favorite, do we know like what era of wrestling he was like tuned into so that we could like get those ones and make sure that, because, you know, he might not know everything about wrestling.
We should put pictures. We have to get this Craig's staff involved.
Yeah.
And we should put like a picture on his door of his office of one of these wrestlers.
Random.
And then he can be like, who put this picture of?
Yeah.
And then he, if he knows the name, then we have to get the staff involved. That's how he would do it.
That's brilliant. We like set him up cameras. It's almost like a little mousetrap. And we just put like superstar Billy Graham. Right? Because you both are going, who in the blue hell is that?
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Superstar Billy Graham on his board. He says, here's the thing. He grew up in San Francisco, which means that he was not far from the Cow Palace. And that is one of the historic wrestling mecca arenas. Everybody wrestled there. Every major star. They still have events there to this day, but it's nowhere near like it used to be. It was like the LA Sports Arena, the Cow Palace.
Cow Palace.
Yeah, that's what it was called. Yep. And so you would, if you lived in the area and you think a wrestling ticket back then was like $6 or $7, $8.
Right.
So that's an easy thing. And it was on TV every weekend. And Greg watched a lot of TV. Craig.
Mr. Butterfield.
Mr. Butterfield. watched a lot of TV. So I like Chester.
Yeah, no, Chester's a good name.
Chester's good, yeah.
Okay, so I think
it's plausible.
All right, so we have to, you know, you guys have to set a trap. And you got to let me know. Let the listeners know
Xerox,
what happened.
I will Xerox and just put it on there and be like, no one say anything. And just set up
a camera. He's like, what? Or you should put, you should do that. That's good.
Yeah,
I was going to say put like a bunch, like just plaster his whole door with all of them.
No, you got to have one because then he'll be like, was that?
He's got too many. Chester has too many minions. Like he's got like a whole fleet. He's got a whole team surrounding him. None of them will fold.
And if he doesn't know the first one, then we move on to another one.
Yeah. Because if he doesn't know the first one.
Because if there's too many, then he'll be like, oh, all these people on my door. Rather than just the one.
He'll be like, these guys didn't even wrestle at the same time.
Yeah, the key.
Brutus Beefcake did not wrestle Bruno Sammartino.
The key is one beefcake at a time.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There was only one beefcake.
Yeah.
For sure.
Luckily.
He's been around.
He's still around.
He's probably like. Actually, what if he goes like we do it like for like a couple days? What if he goes like 10 for 10 on beefcakes?
Yeah.
If he knows every beefcake.
Every beefcake.
Because there's Brutus Beefcake.
He probably does.
And then he evolved to Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Adorable Adrian Adonis. I think that was the era that, like, let's see. I'm trying to think when he was. It would have been Dusty Rhodes, would have been Ric Flair, Superstar Billy Graham. Their younger Bruno Sammartino. I'm trying to think. Classy Freddie Blassie was the one from California, and he was
so put him up first.
Put Classy Freddie Blassie. If he knows who Classy Freddie Blassie is,
there you go.
And he was annoying. He called everybody names and stuff. Like,
there you go.
He was insulting before it was cool to be insulting.
Doesn't that sound like a Craig Butterfield
type
of wrestler?
Else I know.
Calls everybody a pencil neck geek. Like that was his catchphrase. Lou Albano.
Maybe
was
this was
one.
Like an early inspiration for him.
Oh, he's definitely a heel, and what we call in the business, he's a heel manager. He's a bad guy manager. He runs his mouth with a big guy standing behind him. And wait a minute. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
Damn it.
Yeah.
No.
We should start with that. That should be the beefcake
number.
You
got it. Yeah. Beefcake right. number one.
Because he's never
the
said to me.
The inaugural beefcake.
The inaugural beefcake.
He's never said to me, listen, this is a learned comedy show. We can't plug wrestling events, Tyler.
No.
No offense. But it's just, come on, man. Like,
he's on. A super fan.
Yeah. He's always like, yeah, what is it? So when this week. Because I got to put up, I am wrestling Trevor Murdoch for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship in August, and August 28th is, because it's a two-day event. So for what we call, what is called 10 pounds of gold. So it is the most prestigious championship.
Ooh.
So I could literally be double belting it.
Oh, my
goodness. I'm pretty excited about that, but... I have not said anything, but the last two I've talked about, he's like, we got to go sometime.
Yeah.
Cause I thought
go to
about
WrestleMania.
Asking Kat to go because Kat and I do stuff. We do the, we do our podcast and stuff together.
He'd be like, yeah, I would maybe, you know, yeah, just, if like, you're, oh, you know, I don't want you to go by yourself.
No. Yeah,
like, I just, yeah. You know, yeah. I'm like a good, you know.
You know, so
I'll fall on my sword for this one.
Yeah.
Is there red wine there?
Hey, guys, wouldn't it be great if I jumped off the top rope? What if somebody hit me in the head with a chair? What if it was, you know, because that day I pulled the chair on him on the show. I got a little concerned because he was a little too happy.
Craig,
yeah.
Craig would there be the go. One person in the arena just drinking Pinot Noir.
Yes.
A nice cab sat.
And like, excuse me, while I put this down. I'll be right back. Yes. Yeah, with Tom Shalhoub as this corner man. You got him, see?
Yeah.
You got him. So, yeah, it's possible. I've floated it by Billy a couple times, like, just to drop an elbow on him in front. Just one, you know, just one, because I think he'd be a good bad guy. And his favorite intro is saying the NWA. He likes doing NWA,
NWA World Champion. Yeah.
Only compliment he's ever given us. You know, with me,
I'm telling you,
if it's
you
not,
guys,
Kat's not getting arrested.
You have to update us next week.
Right. I've also never been arrested.
I can't like, go not anywhere.
Even once.
Yeah.
It would be too far, even if I had like one arrest.
Yeah,
have you ever been pulled over?
Like speeding ticket.
Yeah,
like back when I used to drive.
Say,
yeah, like
yeah.
No.
Like me, it's like, and every time he jumps in the air, he gets stuck. It's always something to do with my size or whatever. Like, so it's always like in his little. Milieu.
I was really proud of the one intro that I wrote for you, though.
Which
like,
one?
Like a long time ago.
Yeah.
That he's like a cruise ship.
Yeah.
Big and old ladies want to be on him.
Yeah, that was good.
I was proud of that one.
That was a solid.
That was like one of my all-time.
That's
best.
A good one. Yeah. That's a really good one.
Yeah, it's not completely untrue.
No,
yeah,
I've well, seen them.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen them come after you. Like, you're my hall pass. Yeah. You're like, great.
It's
like,
always nice when the husband's taking the picture with.
Yeah.
He's like, she loves you. Like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That's my back pocket. There's no wallet. If you could just stop, please stop.
That's my back.
Stranger danger. But I love him. So, you know, I can't, you know, yeah, this is a great idea.
Right.
You guys have it. So what did you guys learn today?
I learned a lot about sailors that I did not know, even as a shipwreck expert.
My
ancestors' experience on ships was far different.
There wasn't
pit stops to chase sea cows. So, unfortunately, the pit stops were chasing us. But it's an ugly fact of our humanity. But that's what the Bible was for, to stop that. Like don't do that. Why not? Because you can't get into heaven. Okay.
I learned a lot about Sasquatches as well today.
I'm telling check out that
know.
Podcast. Like, the not podcast, but... Check out that documentary. It's on iTunes. It's just released. But just through the Native American stuff was like, wow, you never know. But dudes with all the night gimmicks just walking down the street doing, like, we could do that. We could literally do Sasquatch. If we hit the lights here, we'd be like, we are live in the forest. We could literally do it. So I learned there's a lot of easy ways to make money without really trying hard.
We might need to branch out.
And the next time Catherine's home and she goes into the basement, she's going to come back with some shipwrecks. I
bet they're really good.
Yeah. I mean,
and what age were you? Were
like,
you
I was
this?
Really big into it, like fifth, sixth grade.
Oh, so they're going to be like really epic.
And do you guys want to plug your show on September 23rd?
Yeah.
Yeah, September 23rd. Well, it's not our show. It's those young go-hards.
Yep.
Yes.
It's that Cat and Tyrus. Cat and Tyrus show.
Yes. So, not to be confused with Tyrus and Tim.
Now, listen, tickets are going fast. We're on pace to be sold out here pretty soon, so do not wait. You can get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And so you get them now. Don't wait.
It's at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center.
Yep.
September 23rd.
Yep. And, you know, the more tickets we get, Kat and I are not above doing a second show
Absolutely.
That night. So let's get her in, or as my good friend Larry the Cable said, get her done. So, yeah, for more podcasts like this, just like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. I'm Tyrus. This is the Timf. Devin, take us home.
Enough said.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.